So I want to thank you very much for joining with us today as we take some time to look into God's word and look at this gospel that Mark wrote to us Gentiles and ponder the gift of God, Jesus Christ, and his teachings. And today we get to look at some of the things that I called traditions and commandments. I wrote this one for October 29 of 2023. Our scripture text will be Mark 7, 7 to 13. And so my outline for tradition and commandments, first of all, number one, God's ideas. Number two, man's ideas. That's it. Simple. God's ideas, man's ideas. When I was preparing, I found a section in my Life Application Bible that I want to use for my introduction. It goes like this. Jesus was not against all tradition, but he was against those who made their traditions as important, if not more important, than God's word. Good traditions shine a spotlight on God's word, move us to obedient servants, and help our hearts to sing. They explain and reinforce the teachings of God. God's word should always be the focus, and traditions a means of bringing that word alive. Celebrate your traditions with prayer that Christ will be exalted. Change your traditions if they become more important than God's word. That's the end of my quote. So, I thought they summarized that really well. Traditions are supposed to highlight God or emphasize God or bring glory to God. Our text, I chose the NIV Reader's Version of Mark 7, 7 to 13, and it goes like this. Their worship doesn't mean anything to me. They teach nothing but human rules. That's a quote from Isaiah 29:13 Jesus used. You may have let go of God's commands, and you are holding on to teachings that men have made up. Jesus said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside God's commands. You do this so that you can follow your own teachings. Moses said, honor your father and mother. He took that from Exodus 20, verse 12. He also said, if anyone calls down a curse on his father and mother, he will put them to death. Exodus 21:17. But you allow people to say to their parents, any help you might have received from us is Corban. And Corban is a word for a gift dedicated to God. So you no longer let them do anything for their parents. You make the word of God useless by putting your own teachings in its place. And you do many things like that. The end. Many things like that. So let's take a look at God's ideas. God gave mankind a simple, loving format to build their relationships and their lives. A on your outline. You have let go of God's commands, and let go are your two blanks. The Ten Commandments were to be the centerpiece of all God's commands. So, God set up the Ten Commandments and had that be the centerpiece of everything else he's going to do. Here's what they say in Exodus 20. Here are the words of God spoke. He said, for all time to come, I will show love to all those who love me and keep my commandments. I'm going to stop reading Exodus for just a minute to ask you to think about that. When God is introducing his Ten Commandments, his introduction is, for all time to come, I show love to all those who love me and keep my commandments. He begins his instruction on the Ten Commandments with the idea that it's all based on love. I'll go back to Exodus text. Do not put any other gods in my place. Do not misuse my name of the Lord your God. Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. honor your father and your mother, then you will live a long time in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false witness against your neighbor. Do not long for anything that belongs to your neighbor. That's the end. See, God's ways are simple. They're very simple. They are designed to be understood by all people. Children can understand these commands. The problem here we're investigating today began in the Garden of Eden, when mankind desired knowledge about God over intimate relationship with God. That's where the whole problem started that we're looking at here today. Man wanted to set up his own ideas about God. From that point forward, mankind has tried to demonstrate how much they know. Very often, pride gets in and there's a desire to know more than others. And if you think you know more than others, to make that clear to them. But there again, pride is the problem and man setting up his own ideas. Be on your outline. B, you have a fine way of setting aside God's commands, and setting aside are your two blanks. These are the laws about the Sabbath and the festivals that God gave. So he gave us the Ten Commandments, and then he gave us the laws about these Sabbath days and festivals. And I found this in Exodus chapter 23. It says, quote, "For 6 years, plant your fields, gather your crops. But during the seventh year, do not plow your land or use it. Do all your work in 6 days, but do not do any work on the seventh day. Be careful to do everything I have said to you. 3 times a year, you must celebrate a feast in my honor. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. Eat bread that is made without yeast for 7 days, just as I commanded you. Do it at the appointed time. You must not come to worship with empty hands. Celebrate the Feast of Weeks. Bring the first share of your crops from your field. Celebrate the Feast of Booths. Hold it in the fall when you gather your crops from the field. 3 times a year, all of your men must come to worship me. I am your Lord God and King. Bring the best of the first share of your crops to my house." That's the end. So, celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let's think about that. Eat bread made without yeast. That's what you're supposed to do, and you're supposed to do it at the appointed time. So this is what God tells us to do. This is the appointed time for the birth of the Messiah. It is also a time of lambing, the birth of lambs. So, in the spring, at Passover time, that's when lambs are giving birth. And that is the time that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. It's also the same time that the sin-free Lamb of Christ will be murdered, and then Jesus' glorious resurrection from the dead. So the way God did it, Jesus was born in Passover time, and he died in Passover time. It's to fulfill the idea that he is the Lamb of God. Now, next one, celebrate the Feast of Weeks. Bring the first share of your crop is what you're supposed to do. This is what we call Pentecost. So the fulfillment of the Feast of Weeks was Pentecost. All the times they did that for centuries before were a dress rehearsal for Pentecost. Same way with unleavened bread. All the years they celebrated that Passover, it was dress rehearsal for the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now the last one is celebrate the Feast of Booths. Hold it in the fall when you gather your crops from your field. This is the return of Christ in his millennial kingdom years. Jesus has not fulfilled this feast yet, but he will fulfill this feast. As he fulfilled Passover, as he fulfilled Pentecost, he will also fulfill this time of booths. See on your outline, honor your father and your mother. That's in Exodus 20, verse 12. This is the only command that comes with the promised blessing. Of all the Ten Commandments, this is the only one that says, if you do this, you will live long in the land I've given you. In the NIV Reader's version of Mark 7:10, Moses said, if anyone calls down a curse on his father or mother, he must be put to death. That's from Exodus 21:17. Can you see God's simple design for a family, community, and society? Do you get the big picture? God's design of honor and respect for authority is the central building block for family, community, and society. Take a step back. Honor your father and your mother. If anybody does anything derogatory towards their parents, they should be killed. So there is an absolute obedience to the authority of the family, the father and the mother. That's the essential building block for that family. It's the essential building block for the community they live in and the society. So think about our society now. Do people respect parents? Do people respect others in the community? Do people respect and honor the laws of this land? I could go on, but the fact is, when you lose respect for authority, the whole society crumbles, the community crumbles, and the tremendous amount of single-parent homes that we see is all a result of our unwillingness to honor father and mother. You see, God is one. God's ways and truth is simple. It is designed to be lived by one who becomes like a child. So the ways of God are not complex. A child can understand these things. And Jesus said an adult that wants to become a part of the kingdom must become like a child. Well, obviously, he's not saying you get little again. What he's saying is you get simple in your thoughts, like a child. All right, traditions and commandments. We took a look at God's ideas. Now let's take a look at man's ideas. And he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. By this time, the crowd was unwieldy and stepping on each other's toes, numbered into the thousands. But Jesus' primary concern was his disciples. He said to them, watch yourselves carefully so you do not get contaminated by Pharisee yeast, Pharisee phoniness. You can't keep your true self hidden forever. Before long, you'll be exposed. You can't hide behind a religious mask forever. Sooner or later, the mask will slip and your true face will be known. You can't whisper one thing in private and preach another in the opposite in public. The day's coming when those whispers will be repeated in all over town. That's my end of my quote from Luke 12. The Pharisees had added hundreds of their own rules and regulations to God's holy laws. And then they tried to force people to follow these rules. That's what we're looking at here. The Pharisees had added hundreds of things you must do. It's kind of like they took the Ten Commandments and then they would take each one of them and add 100 things of how to do each one of these things. And you had to follow their rules exactly. You see, the Pharisees claimed to know God's will in every detail of life. That's what they were claiming. Honestly, they didn't know God much at all. There are religious leaders today who add rules and regulations to God's word, causing much confusion among believers. So today we have the same phenomenon where people in authority will add rules to what God says and cause people to be confused. It's idolatry to claim that your interpretation of God's word is more important than God's word itself. Believe it, it's true that there are preachers who will say what they are saying is as much value or more value than the scriptures. And people are doing that. It is especially dangerous to set up unbiblical standards for others to follow. But religious organizations do that. They set up unbiblical standards for others to follow. Instead, we can look to Christ for guidance about our own behavior and let him lead others in the details of their lives. That's how it should work. We can look to Christ, look to his Holy Spirit. We focus on our own behavior, and we let him be in control and lead us in all the details of life. And we don't spend a lot of time looking at the details of others' lives. That's their responsibility. The NIV Reader's Version of Mark 7:7 goes like this. Their worship doesn't mean anything to me. They teach nothing but human rules. And that was the quote of Isaiah 29:13. A on your outline. They teach nothing but human rules. And your blank is nothing. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They weren't teaching scriptures. They were teaching people to practice their rules. I was watching an episode of The Chosen the other day, and a Pharisee said, quote, if one obeys the rules and the laws perfectly, they will see God, end quote. You see, that's what the Pharisees believed. If you obey all of these laws perfectly, then you will see God. The NIV Reader's Version of Mark 7:8, you have let go of God's commands, and you are holding on to teachings that men have made up. That's the end. Be on your outline. You're holding on to teachings that men have made up. So I gave you six blanks. Holding on to, have made up. The point is, they were paying more attention to the things that they had written than what God had written. Sadly, many had come to believe that their rules and law was God. It's clear that some Pharisees would say the law is God. That's how much they worshiped it, which is totally off. You know, the rules of the religious organization, that's God. Obey the rules. Well, that's so far off, it's how could people even say and believe it? The NIV Reader's Version of Mark 7:9 goes like this. Then Jesus said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside God's commands. You do this so you can follow your own teachings. That's the end. So see on your outline, you do this so you can follow your own teachings. And your three blanks, follow your own. See, they aren't God's, they're man's. Religious people then and now place their ideas above God's word. They do. Then Jesus was talking to them. In Isaiah's day, he was talking to them. In our days, I'm talking to you about it. But religious people place their ideas above God's word. The NIV Reader's Version of Mark 7:11-13 goes like this. But you allow people to say to their parents, any help you might have received from us is Corban. And Corban means it's a gift that's set apart for God. So you no longer let them do anything for their parents. You make the word of God useless by putting your own teachings in its place. And you do many things like that. That's the end of Mark 7. D on your outline. You make the word of God useless by putting your own teachings in its place. So I gave you five blanks. Made useless, putting your own. When you put your ideas above God's word, you make God's word practically useless. And when you think about this, they're encouraging people to take all the money they were going to give to their parents and set it aside and call it Corbin. What Corbin is cash flow for the Pharisees. When that Corbin gift comes into the treasury, guess who gets it? That's right, the Pharisees. So they're setting up this rule so that they're actually robbing a person's parents to line their own pockets. You see, pride, greed, control, arrogance, dishonesty, deceit, hate, these things are not God's ways. These and many others are the attitudes and actions of religious people in Jesus' day, and sadly, even in our day. In our day, it's easy to see people who are prideful about how much they know. And they don't hesitate to tell you. There are people in churches that are greedy. There are people who struggle to be in control. There is arrogance. There is dishonesty and deceit. They are not telling you the truth about who they are. And that was true in Isaiah's day. That was true in Jesus' day. And that is true in our day. So here's my conclusion. I would love to tell you that in 2024 years, we have outgrown this problem by growing closer to Christ. But that would not be true. That would be a lie. People today put more value on traditions than truth. People do that today. This can be clearly seen in large religious organizations of our day, where the instructions and the regulations of organized religions cause people to do things that distract them away from God's word. So that's them. They do that. But what about you and I? Do we do this too? Or is it just the people in Isaiah's day? Just the people in Jesus' day? And just these other people in religions? Are they the ones doing it and we're good? Probably not. Probably not. And I'm going to stir up some things here, but it's to make a point. For example, Christmas on December 25th is nowhere in God's word. Nowhere in the Bible does it say celebrate Christmas on December 25th. Nowhere. God's word clearly teaches we should celebrate the death of someone, not their birth. Clearly, throughout scriptures, it's clear that you don't celebrate someone's birth, but their death. We try to illustrate that, just one of many. This Sunday, we will celebrate communion in our church. And God said, Jesus said, remember my death by celebrating communion, right? But nowhere did he say, celebrate my birthday. No place. It's his death that's important. Solomon will write that. It's the death, not the birth. Job will write that. And there's lots of others that it's not the birth, but the death that is important. You see, God's word clearly teaches we should celebrate Passover and the resurrection of Jesus in the spring. Clearly, that's what we're supposed to do. Celebrate Passover and the resurrection. But many people in churches will prefer the pagan Easter. Easter has absolutely nothing to do with the resurrection. Nothing to do with the unleavened bread sacrifice of Passover. But people will spend lots of money on decorations and paraphernalia to celebrate the pagan Easter. They will do that for Christmas. Christmas is not a biblical holiday, but they will spend lots of time and lots of money focused on something that is not biblical. We're coming up on Halloween. Let's take a look at that one. Halloween is nowhere in the Bible. No place. What happened was there was this festival that people celebrated, and the church decided, oh, well, we better get in on that. So when you look around, I bet you can think of churches who are going to celebrate Halloween with trunk or treat. I bet you can find them. We are not to celebrate Halloween in any way, shape, or form. It's not a church biblical holiday. See, there are many more the illustrations that I could come up with where we prefer our traditions and our teaching above God's words and commands. I could come up with more of them. But when you step back, how many things do we do that are not in the Bible? Do you think for one second that the devil, the deceiver, does not desire to deceive us into disobedience in these things? Do you think for one second Satan's deceptions are not at the core of what happened in Isaiah's day, what happened in Jesus' day, what's happening in our day? They want to distract us from focusing on what we're supposed to focus on. So, in the spring, do you celebrate Passover? Do you do that? You should. I practice it. I'm not really good at it, but I do it. Just a couple weeks ago was the festival of tabernacles, the shelters. Do you practice that? I do. I actually took a lot of money and went to Israel to be in Jerusalem on that specific festival so I could investigate for myself in Jerusalem this amazing festival of tabernacles, of tenting. Why? Because I believe that's how Jesus is going to come back. That's when he's going to come back, is on that festival. I wanted as best I could to investigate it. Think about it. Do you celebrate Pentecost, first fruit? When's the last time you had a Pentecostal party? Not like the churches who do strange things and call them Pentecostal, but I mean, on that festival day. When's the last time you did that? I bet you could come up with the last time you celebrated Halloween or Christmas or Easter. But what about the festivals of God? That's what we should be focusing on. Those things, not man's things. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so delighted and thankful that you love us enough to show us the way, the truth in your life, in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus clearly is saying to those people then, and reminding them of what Isaiah said, so that we are today awake and aware that there will be deceptions the enemy is going to use to distract us from the truth of your word, the truth of what you designed the Ten Commandments to do, the truth of what you designed these feasts and festivals to do, to distract us from those things. Father, I just pray that you would open each one of our eyes to the deceptions the enemy is doing and give us the strength and courage to stand against all the society hubbub we'll get in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and watched. wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find you? As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through.